Meeting started. And so, welcome. Je m'appelle Sylvie Bigras. Je suis la présidente de l'Association communautaire de la Basse-Ville, un poste bénévole, comme sont tous nos présidents de comité et nos membres de comité aussi. And it's really a pleasure to see all of you joining us here, as I know things are getting busy in the holiday season and whatnot. I'd like to ask our meeting administrator, Nadia, to post the agenda in the chat, if you have not already done so, Nadia. And then we will be following our agenda. Comme toujours, on a un ordre du jour, mais vous pouvez nous poser des questions. Et puis après chaque présentation, nous donnons toujours quelques minutes aux gens qui prennent part à les réunions de poser des questions, faire des commentaires. As I mentioned in French, we have an agenda, and as we always do, after each presentation, we take time for questions, comments, and of course, there's always a fulsome conversation going on chat where people are just making comments, and we invite you to do so. So let's get going. I have a very short president's report. It's been busy. I am continuing to attend meetings on behalf of the Lower Town Community Association, on behalf of our community, I believe. Et puis, ma présence à ces réunions, c'est vraiment pour représenter pour moi les enjeux, les commentaires, les positions que je reçois des membres de notre communauté. C'est pas vraiment moi qui rencontre ces gens-là en réunion, c'est vraiment, je suis là comme, je crois, porte-parole de vous, les membres de notre communauté. I attend these meetings on behalf of all of you as members of this community, and I hope that I'm bringing forward your concerns, your thoughts, your comments from meeting to meeting. I've attended a lot of one-on-one meetings. I won't belabor that, you know, I won't go through them all. I want to say that I continue to bring forward our philosophy of being partners, of being collaborators, and of wanting to work collaboratively with everyone in our community in addressing the concerns we have. Top three concerns really for us right now are, one is social services concentration and proliferation, which is a fact. It's a given that we are, some say, burdened with the responsibility of serving many of the vulnerable in our community. We want to help. We have many people in our community who are actively involved in helping and who care. The positive point is there is a great movement forward, I believe, from whether it's at the city, whether it's at the service providers themselves, and to acknowledge and understand that we need to share the burden throughout the larger city. We are recommending, we the LCA, a 24-ward approach, and we have discussed this with our new city councilor, who is going to be addressing you shortly, where we think that every single ward has a responsibility to care for the vulnerable, and it's something that we strongly believe in, and we're continuing to promote that, and we're continuing to work with those who are in our community and who are providing services, because we think that's important as well. Le deuxième enjeu que nous représentons, puis ça, c'est un enjeu qui prend assez de temps parce que c'est très complexe, c'est la circulation des camions sur King Edward. Et puis, on continue à travailler avec les gens qui sont impliqués dans ce dossier-là pour essayer d'arriver à des résolutions. The truck traffic on King Edward has been a long time issue, and we continue to work on that. The third thing is that we have decided that we want to do is we want to celebrate our community more. So this is something you will be seeing from us, your LCA executive, over the next year, is how can we celebrate our community and really bring that vibrancy back to what is the Byward Market and Lower Town, Canada's national capital, most historic quarter. Puis qu'est-ce qu'on va faire, c'est qu'on veut vraiment animer notre quartier. On veut que les gens se sentent vraiment bienvenus, qu'il y ait un buzz un peu, qu'il y ait de la lumière, qu'il y ait de l'activité. We think that, you know, there are some great things that are happening. Zach and the auto markets brought a Thursday night market back, and they had music on Thursdays. We think that there's some initiatives, but we want to really be focused on that and bring that vibrancy of our community back. So that's the third item I wanted to highlight to you. as a report. The other two things quickly is I've been meeting one-on-one with a homeless advocate, someone who was formerly homeless and is now trying to help the homeless and navigate the complexities of the systems. And I just want to say that that's a voice that I have not had in the past. And I really, really appreciate her input and her comments. So she's technologically wants to attend a meeting and even speak at one point, but she's just learning how to how to use her phone. And she is going to be joining us, I think, later on in the year. But I just want to say that that voice has been one that's really influenced me and it's been a powerful one. And my last thing is, this is a really exciting initiative, is that the City of Ottawa, with a number of partners, such as the BIA, Byward Market, the City of Ottawa Social Services, Ottawa Gatineau Hotel Association, Ottawa Inner City Health.
Hey, Google, pairing mode.
I'm sorry? Oh, so I thought somebody's asking a question. And Ottawa Police Services, we have a small group that is actually got together because two of the issues that people have said to us is that a lot of this is long-term. We want to see action now. So this is a small action-oriented group that says, what can we do today? 280 people in 1 week were evicted from the Rideau Centre parking lot because they were looking for a warm place to sleep. It's a problem for the Rideau Centre and their businesses and their clients. It's a problem for the people who are asked to leave who have nowhere to go. So we talk about that and we say, what can we do for those people today if they can't go to a shelter for whatever reason? So just as an example, it's very action oriented. And one of the things that has come out of this group is we're recommending a new governance model where all social service agencies work together collaboratively. There is some collaboration, but they're so busy in their worlds of, well, saving lives in many cases and delivering services to the many vulnerable, that there's no group that's sort of saying, hey, why don't we get all of you, Salvation Army, Mission Center, blah, 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 working together. So I'll stop at that, but I think that's a really good initiative. And I'm very pleased to be working with that group on behalf of the LCA. Donc, je vais arrêter là pour mon rapport et je vais demander s'il y a des questions ou des commentaires avant d'aller à l'item numéro 2 sur notre ordre du jour. If no questions for me, I will now, with great pleasure, she joined us at the last meeting as incoming counselor. Aujourd'hui, ce soir, elle se joint à nous comme conseillère. She's been there a full 2 weeks, I think. And so I know that has, is basically a huge learning curve, but we've had some initial conversations and meeting. And I want to say I'm thrilled to be working with our new counselor who is, I'm sorry, I don't want to put you on the spot, Stephanie, but is a get things done kind of person. And c'est donc avec plaisir que je vous demande à faire un rapport Stéphanie Plante, conseillère Ottawa-Vanier, quartier 12. Over to you.
Merci beaucoup, Sylvie. Je ne sais pas quoi dire quand tu fais des très beaux mots. Là. Je vous assure, tout le monde, je ne lui paye pas pour dire ça. Là. Même si vous avez l'impression que je lui paye pour dire ça, ce n'est pas vrai. Hi, everyone. Good night. Good evening, I should say. I'm a bit ébranlée because I just got back from Montreal. I was at COP15 with another city councillor learning all about cities and biodiversity. So I'm all like ready to plant a pollinator garden in the snow, which I won't do, but I'm ready to do it. So I'm happy to have some conversations with you guys about that. If ever anybody wants to, there's just some real good movement out there on this issue and it's an important one. So in terms of counselor updates, I only have two. I feel so lame. Like I feel like Mathieu used to talk for 20 minutes. I'm not going to do that tonight because I don't have that much to say. I've been en fonction là for about 3 weeks. But one is some of you got the email about Bingham Park and there's going to be a consultation. I believe it's Thursday or Friday. I think they're just soliciting. Sorry, Sandra, maybe you can, I didn't see the latest email. Maybe you can kind of just update that part.
Yeah, it was a request that went out this week from Renee, actually today, and Donna and Sarah are leading this.
Right.
I can't attend this week, so we've asked for a meeting next week.
Perfect. So okay. That. Yeah, it's just all I see in my inbox is people going back and forth on availability, but There is some movement on the redesign of Bingham Park. So that's really exciting. I'm really happy to see that going forward. And the other one, excuse me, just on my behalf, is I had some very, so when I was canvassing during the election, especially in the areas of like Cathcart and Gig, people sort of complained about the parking because obviously they're not perfectly shaped form homes. People kind of park wherever they can, and then maybe some cars kind of pull into driveways or are in front of signage. And so people were wondering if we could paint on the street exactly where people can and can't park. I had a very preliminary discussion with traffic, who is open to doing such a thing. I don't know why they would miss all the revenue from the parking tickets, but you know, hey, let's paint instead. So if anybody wants to just reach out to my office, I'll put the email address in the chat, spread the word. They are willing to sit and have some consultations, obviously not in the winter, mais au printemps, ils vont peinturer. C'est comme, c'est un peu comme un rectangle où vont exactement les voitures sur les rues dans ce coin de la basse ville. Alors, oui, s'il vous plaît, prenez contact avec moi. On va peut-être faire une rencontre dans le nouvel an. On peut même faire un peu de street art. Ça, c'était ma suggestion aussi avec les places de stationnement. Alors, non, je vais l'indiquer tout de suite. Et j'ai pas autre mise à jour, mais si quelqu'un a des questions, vous pouvez les poser aussi. Et hi Seb, je te vois là, I didn't see you before. So.
Seb will be next, but before we go to Seb, est-ce qu'il y a des questions pour notre conseillère? Anybody have a question? I'm looking here. Warren, I see your hand is raised. Warren Waters.
Hi, and at the risk of being a broken record, Stephanie, I have to ask the same question I asked last month. When will the secondary plan for Byward Market start? Because unless it's included in this council's priorities for the term, it's unlikely to be done. And it is important in many different ways.
Yeah, so I had a chat with the mayor, I can't remember, maybe Friday or Thursday, because he wanted to know where I stood on what they call budget directions. So it's the percentage by which they will ask staff to put together a budget for 2023. I mentioned this exact thing in the budget direction. I said I would, I mean, without too much politicking, I would support his budget direction as long as there was money for certain projects in my ward. And that was one of the things I mentioned. So I will have an answer for you shortly when we hear back from the budget direction.
Thank you. There is a question in the chat. How can we receive permission to place the Echo newspaper at City Hall in the reception area? I believe that there's many other community newspapers in that same area. So do we need permission or do we just email you? Or
drop it off, hot off the press. No, no. Dépose-le là. Moi, je vais le mettre moi-même dans le bureau de tous les conseillers et les conseillères. Non, vous n'avez qu'à l'amener ici. Et puis, peut-être que moi, je peux le récupérer aussi. J'habite à Côte-de-Sable, alors je pourrais peut-être passer par chez vous, mais sentez-vous à l'aise de le déposer ici.
OK.
You left a bundle. Well, just let me know. Oh, sorry, I'm not sure who's writing. Robin. Sorry, Robin.
Everton. Yeah.
Just let me know when they're being dropped off and I can stop by and pick them up and make sure they're unbundled and put out correctly. Maybe they thought it was recycled. I don't know. I honestly don't know. So.
Thank you, Robin. Merci. Any other comments or questions for our incoming three-week-old counselor? I follow you on social media and already you're all over the place. We're going to say, where's Waldo? You have to start wearing the stripes, you know, like you're, I think.
I know this is a side story. So they're doing some big renovation to, and I'm already forgetting the name, the big main park in Montreal. Help me out here, CD. C'est quoi le nom? J'oublie là. Anyway, ils ont demandé, comme s'il y a des conseillers, des conseillères comme des autres villes qui veulent mettre leur input parce qu'ils veulent que ça soit vraiment un parc qui a de l'input partout. Et puis, j'étais là, hey yo, I have enough on my plate. Like, oublie ça là. Je t'envoie un courriel avec 3 points and that's it. So, don't call me.
Not Mount Royal, is it Mount Royal?
As I say, Mont-Royal. Anyway.
No, it's Jean Drapeau. Sorry, I remember
Jean
now.
Drapeau.
Okay. Yeah.
Former,
and they want it to be like a real biodiversity park. And so they're asking for people who attended to send their input and join some committee. And I was like, no, ça va.
Just tell them you're too focused on Bingham right now. Bingham Park. Okay. Just Bingham Park. All right. Counselor, you're welcome to stay with us. I know that, like, I saw the counselor at an event Saturday night. I think it was her fifth event of the day. So I have to say, we do understand if you have to leave, you're welcome, always welcome to stay and listen to our committee reports. But c'est à vous, on sait que vous avez un horaire absolument fou. So thanks very much for joining us. And we hope you'll be with us on the 9th of January, which is our next meeting. Donc, merci beaucoup.
Je vais mettre dans mon agenda. Merci tout le monde. Je vais juste muter. Il faut que je fasse des choses dans mon bureau, mais s'il y a de quoi là, vous pouvez poser la question. Merci. Merci.
Robin, I want to say thank you for asking that question. Am I allowed to introduce you? We haven't met you yet. We haven't met with you officially yet, and we haven't had a discussion that I wasn't going to, but I'm going to do it. Robin Etherington is meeting with the LCA tomorrow to talk about the ECHO. And Robin has some amazing ideas about content, about publication, about advertising, et cetera. And I just want to say it's been an absolute joy chatting with you, Robin, on that. And I look forward to our meeting tomorrow morning. So I'll just say that because I just cannot let it go without saying something. So thank you, Robin, for the information you've already shared with us on it's very, very helpful. Alors, je vais continuer avec notre ordre du jour, puis notre prochain. C'est comme notre conseillère l'a mentionné, Sébastien Lemay de la police d'Ottawa. Constable Lemay is always with us every month, except when he has a baby at home.
Merci, Sylvie. Thank you, everyone. Good to see everyone. I think it's been a couple of months. Donc, pour ceux qui ne me connaissent pas, for those who don't know me, Sébastien Lemay, policier communautaire pour la Basse-Ville et le Marché-Baye. I used to cover Sandy Hill as well, but now that's been taken over from by a new colleague of mine, so I can now focus entirely on the lovely Lower Town Association and its neighborhood. I was invited to present today to talk about different topics, but also to share some numbers with you in regards to statistics. So for those that are new to this meeting, as most of you know, I present the statistics from quarter to quarter, and we're present them with the quarter from the previous year, and essentially we can have a discussion on different numbers. So we're obviously currently in quarter four. Merci, Coco. Sorry, just got a candy cane dropped off by my four-year-old, so I'll snack on that once I'm done. So again, the numbers that I have for you are for the months of July, August, and September, numbers of 2022 that we'll compare with 2021. I essentially present, the numbers that stood out for me or those that are of interest for community associations, essentially. Bear in mind, again, this is reported crime. So in any case, we can interpret, the true value of the number and whether it is because there's an underreporting of such incidents or things of that nature. So essentially, just to put things in perspective for Lower Town, for the total amount of calls for service that were responded to by the Auto Police Service, we're looking at pretty much the same number between 2021 and 2022. Which is around 6,300 calls. So that's for the Lower Town neighborhood. Like I said, in quarter three of both years, it's pretty similar. And again, to put things in perspective, because we're having a lot of discussions, as Sylvie mentioned, with different groups that I'm a part of. Obviously, we're talking about crime and disorder, but also substance use, mental health issues, and things of that nature. So I just saw the number of calls that we responded to or assisted on that are for the Mental Health Act, or that were cleared that way. So the Mental Health Act is anytime we have somebody that's in, obviously, mental distress process. Possibly, mentioning thoughts of suicide or things of that nature. So it's broad. It doesn't necessarily mean that, that person is going to be brought to the hospital for an assessment. But still, we're looking at roughly around 150 calls in quarter three of 2021 and about the same in quarter three of 2022. So I just wanted to share that number quickly. So again, there's a threshold between calls for service and reports. So as officers, again, I shared the number around 6,000 some calls for service. We won't necessarily submit a report for all of those calls. Again, depending on, like I said, threshold and different criteria, we might simply, and I say simply, but it still holds a statistical value. We might clear a call, put some remarks, and that way it's registered that such an address, such a time, officers responded and dealt with it. So usually in cases that, you know, we might be considering either criminal charges or a further investigation, or again, because the call itself is so complex, our officers will take the time to write a more detailed report. That report will obviously include a longer synopsis than the actual brief remarks on a call. And we'll also have entities, so who the complainant is, if there's a victim, witnesses, and obviously a suspect or a charged individual. So I'll share with you some numbers about reported crime. Again, quarter three of 2021 compared with quarter three of 2022. So theft of motor vehicles, so the entire vehicle being stolen, we had 15 reported occurrences in quarter three of 2021, and that climbed to 26 reported occurrences in quarter three of 2022. Again, I'm no stats specialist, but when I look at numbers and I consider which numbers are the closest to the actual true crime, so the actual number of incidents, that's one that I would say is quite accurate, because I wouldn't know if too many people that get their cars stolen and that don't call police, whether it be for, you know, obviously a claim with insurance or just, you know, how big of the nature of the theft. So that's a number that's raised. Through the Auto Police website, I encourage anybody on the call that hasn't done so already to register for our newsletter media release. And essentially, by registering, you get information on different crime trends, things to worry about. And I'm just sharing this because in the last couple of months, we issued one where there was an arrest that was made of an important network of thieves of these vehicles, with a list of different vehicles that are usually targeted. So the modus operandi is usually a network of subjects that come from Montreal. Again, they'll organize a night in Ottawa or different other big cities in the area, and essentially they use electronic tools where they can reproduce the signal mostly of the vehicles that have the push button start. I'll try to find a link later and share it on the chat, but that's all on our website in terms of what to do to prevent the theft of your vehicle if like me you have a vehicle with that type of technology. And again, we're looking at really always the public's assistance. If ever you see somebody suspicious, look around cars, stuff like that, then that definitely that should be a call to the Auto Police Service. Then the other number that was there was a big increase was in shoplifting. So shoplifting is any theft that's committed usually in retail stores, obviously where a suspect conceals merchandise on their person and they walk out without making an attempt to pay. Again, that's a number that I like to analyze for the simple fact that a raise in those numbers can mean that, simply put, the LPO, the loss prevention officers, are doing a better job at identifying the suspects. Because again, somebody could steal, do a good job at concealing and walking out, and you know, the stores would not even know that a theft was committed. So we had 109 reported shoplifting theft in quarter three of 2021, and that more than doubled to 281 in quarter three of 2022. So again, interesting number to analyze. Doesn't necessarily mean that the shoplifters are more active, but could perhaps mean that the LPOs are doing a better job, either by way of surveillance or again video surveillance, or following the suspect, or just doing a better job at monitoring. So that's it for numbers. I'll go back to my Zoom screen just to see if there are any questions, and then I just have two or three other little subjects that I wanted to touch on. So I'm not seeing anything. Feel free at any time to interrupt me, and I can pull up the numbers again. One issue that Sandra and I have been kind of looking after recently is certain problems with reporting to the Auto Police Service. Listen, folks, I've been doing this job for 6 years, and I could almost write not a book, but like a little pamphlet of the number of incidents that unfortunately residents have had issues with reporting. I find it very unfortunate. I started policing about 15 years ago, and I feel like I was dispatched to pretty much any and every call. And it never bothered me, to be honest. I took anything from obviously like a theft call to an assault to anything. But because we're so low on resources, and again, we would wish that we had more officers respond to every call, but the Ottawa Police Service has had to adapt, and a lot of the calls that, like I said, 15 years ago I was dispatched to are now taken either by phone or online. So those are great tools for anybody, obviously the online form for anybody who's tech savvy and can fill up a report. But again, what's lacking right now, in my personal opinion, is that we're unable to send officers to every call, and that's kind of the feedback that I've been getting. So I think we could be here all evening talking about different scenarios and and when to call police and when should you and when shouldn't you. But the scenario I want to speak with about, I don't know, Sandra, if you'd wish to provide the background first, and then I can speak.
Certainly, a resident of ours, well-known resident living in the market area, and knows the community, knows the community well, has been involved with the LCA. On December the 3rd, or a couple Saturdays ago, at 4:30 in the afternoon, they were along George Street, and a person, a male, approached him with a long stick or a piece of wood in a threatening manner. He was with somebody else, so he didn't feel that threatened, but he decided to call in, and he called non-threatening OPS number. It took approximately 20 minutes to get through and leave a message. Somebody called him back the next day. But Sebastian and this person and I, we met, and we discussed that maybe this call should be a 911 number, because if this person was acting this way, that they could be a threat to the next person coming along. So Seb might want to talk about this and what you would do in this situation. And then we'll talk about the other situation of the area.
Absolutely. So exactly, whenever there's any doubt or there's any difficulty to get through to our call takers in a situation such as Sandra described, I or any other officer would strongly recommend that somebody call 911. Again, painting a clear picture about, the actual weapon, right? Because, the wooden stick could have been used in a weapon in that case. And again, the threatening manner, the behavior and things of that nature. So for that resident in particular, I think there was a little bit of a struggle with, again, calling the non-emergency line, not wanting to bother the 911, which again should never be the determining factor in again calling 911 or not. And I'll share with you, and I've shared it before with the LCA, and we can put it in the minutes and disseminate how widely we want. I've been asking for this extension to be distributed and publicized a little bit more, but there's a philosophy that somebody calling in should probably wait to hear all of the options and then figure out which extension they should press in order to perhaps submit a report online or to a call taker. But if you need mobile police response, such as in this scenario, as soon as you call and you start hearing the prompts, the extension is 7502. So 7502, by pressing that, you'll be connected directly to dispatch. They'll answer just like if you had waited, the 2 or 3 minutes to hear all the prompts and everything else. And again, paint a clear picture, say who you are, where you are, and what's going on, and police resources will be dispatched accordingly. So following the correspondence with Sandra and that residence, I am pushing it up my chain of command. Again, I've done so in previous years, and nothing has changed, but we as community officers are really stressing the fact that, we are coming out to these community association meetings. We are, promoting Make the Right Call, and then we are hearing frustration of the residents that they are unable to get through. And that's really unfortunate. So giving it another push for you and the other community associations, and really hoping that, again, the powers that be and the Ottawa Police Service make make a change. I can totally appreciate that. Again, many people might be calling and dialing that extension without, you know, due cause, or probably they should have waited for the other options. But again, I just want to share with you in light of the example that Sandra just gave. So the complete number is 613-236-1222. That's the Ottawa Police non-emergency number. And the extension is 7502. So for that resident in particular, as far as I know, by calling 7502, it might ring for a while because, again, we're short staff on the road and the call takers are also short staff. But in my opinion, it should not go to voicemail. I think that what ended up happening for that resident is that he pressed an extension saying that he wanted to file a report. So by filing a report, the extension for that is 7300. That phone number is answered by agents only. They're not police officers. And they take the report by the phone. And then if a follow-up is required by a police officer, either for an investigation or a type of follow-up, that's going to be done several days later. So again, that resident did file a report. That's very useful, such as many of you have heard me preach before. You know, we have the reports, we have the stats, we have the numbers, that's great. But in that instant for that resident, there was a frustration because, again, he got a call back the next day, subject was gone, and he wished he would have had a police officer dispatch. So it's not a unique example. It happens all the time. I see we have 35 some residents here, which is great. Always a great participation by the LCA folks. But again, share with your neighbors. Internally, I'm doing my best to ensure that it's broadcasted more broadly. But here we are for now.
Seb, can I just add that we talked and you have requested that the OPS call-in center, I don't remember the acronym or the name of it, we can at another LCA meeting have them come and talk to us about the reporting.
Yes, it's the Police Reporting Unit, so PRU is the acronym. 236-1222, Carla. So the first number, not the second one. So PRU, I've reached out to the manager because, again, they came at the Routier Center pre-pandemic, and they gave what I heard from your feedback was a good presentation, a lot of Q&A. They went back with some of your criticism, and they've adapted since, which is good. But I think now we'd be due for a little bit of a refresher. So I think your January meeting is going to be pretty stacked. But anyways, we'll follow up to figure out a good time for one or two of their agents and managers to come. The other, speaking of reporting and stuff like that, I feel that there's a little bit of confusion recently, and rightfully so, because everybody's being bombarded with so many numbers to call and alternate numbers to dial instead of police for various issues. So I met with businesses along Rideau Street that were, you know, and again, bear with me here, it's a longer example, probably not appropriate or not applicable for residences per se, but I think some of you might be able to relay in regards to this issue. So essentially, they had a person that they believed to be homeless that was in their lobby and refused to leave repeatedly. Again, by the instructions that they received, they felt that it was more appropriate to call, to dial 311 for outreach services instead of calling police. Again, the individual was not violent, was not causing any issues, but, you know, as we can appreciate, you know, for a big hotel, it was a hotel that I visited, running a business, it was causing some discomfort for the clients and staff that were coming in. So again, any form of trespassing issue, somebody's on your private property, I can appreciate that many people want to leave police out. But again, if the person trespassing is causing an issue, then the call should be made to police. Again, if they're violent, aggressive, threatening, 911. If they're simply sleeping in your backyard and they're not really causing any issues, and then you can look at the non-emergency number with the 7502 extension that I provided. Sandra, I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add.
Just wanted to say that the there's a lot of unsheltered. There are a lot of people that have tents and encampments, and it's getting colder, so they're brave to be out there. There is an encampment or tents or was in the George Street area. I don't know if you want to address that and the construction in that area.
Of course. Again, unsheltered population, encampments, they've been keeping us pretty busy this summer. And by busy, I mean us community police officers. I and some of my colleagues are on a group, which I feel is either presented here or has been spoken about before, the Unsheltered Task Force. So it's led by the city. It includes managers from the housing department, members of the outreach services, again, myself. We have representatives of the NCC, because a lot of those encampments are on NCC property. Again, we meet monthly, and between all the monthly meetings, we have an ongoing communication distribution list. And we will look at, unfortunately, encampment dismantlements. Guidelines have been drafted, but again, there are simply guidelines. And again, that has caused some confusion internally, and I'm working with my colleagues that just making sure that it's clearly understood. In a case of a tent on a sidewalk, such as Sandra was referring to on George Street, whatever guidelines we have, like the guidelines essentially, just so you folks have the context, doesn't usually, when we have the luxury of time, that is to say that we can wait a couple of days, we try to engage the unsheltered individuals with some outreach services. What we don't want is, as police or any other law enforcement in the city, simply show up, take the tent down, get out of here. Next thing you know, they leave and they relocate somewhere else, and we have to start over again. In all transparency, it's kind of what this summer has felt, because some of these folks, even though they are offered outreach, shelter, and all those things, they refuse. So it has felt like a game of whack-a-mole this summer. And again, with the UTF, the Unsheltered Task Force, I have flagged that, it's been noticed by others. So we're taking this winter, which is going to be a little less busy for encampments, to really look at a new strategy for the spring, because again, as police officers, we show up mainly to keep the peace. We ensure that the outreach staff are able to do their job. And again, if it's on city property, usually a bylaw officer is there to give the order to leave. And same thing if it's in a park. And then if it's NCC property, same thing. So it's time consuming, costs a lot of money. So we need to do better. And again, I and my colleagues have flagged it, and it's being looked into. Then when we look at encampments in parks, and I recognize somebody on the call has emailed me about an issue, which I promise to look into as soon as possible. In those cases, sometimes we will analyze and based on different criteria, we'll see if we can give it a day or two before in order for outreach services to connect. McDonald Garden has been flagged as an issue. I plan on following up personally on that. Like I said, this week, and trying to figure out, what type of outreach services have been engaged. And if they have been engaged, as much as we want to have sympathy for the people going through that reality, unfortunately, we can't allow our parks to become campgrounds. So I think that's what I had to cover for encampments, Sandra.
Can you talk a little bit about no-go zone?
You have your hand up. Is that okay about encampments?
Are you asking me?
Sorry. Yes, I see you have your hand up.
It was about something else.
Oh, okay. So once we're done encampments, it's to Constable LeMay. Okay, so we'll make sure we go to you. So go ahead on the no-go zone, Sandra.
Yeah, do you deal with the no-go zones in the area in certain parks, or is that just the city outreach people?
No, so there are, again, based on those guidelines, there are certain parks that have been identified as you said, Sandra, no-go zone. And based on the George Street issue of 2 weeks ago, we are looking at kind of broadening that definition of a no-go zone. Again, there are guidelines. We need to, take a lot of things into consideration. And sometimes, even if an unsheltered person is in a no-go zone, it is possible that it takes a day or two before things get in motion for the actual dismantlement. So Bordello Park and King Edward Park, because of very involved residents in the area, have been labeled as no-go zones, as well as the proximity of the services, the the school, not the school, but the park for kids, the dog park and all those things. So I don't want to start naming criteria and then people on the call say, well, my park should be a no-go. Again, through the association, through Sandra, if you strongly feel that an area should be defined as somewhere where we should absolutely not tolerate any tents, again, being mindful of everything that I've shared so far, please do. And Sandra's in direct communication with the chairs of the UTF, as am I. So we're happy to have those conversations, but it's been complex. It was founded in 2020, the UTF. I've been a part of it since the beginning. We're welcoming new partners as we go, and we're examining different philosophies. But it sounds bad that I feel like we've hit rock bottom. Like I'm trying to find a better expression, but like it's been pretty bad this summer, and we, like I said, we're only anticipating it's going to get worse, and we really don't, we as officers and as a police service cannot continue with, again, the two or three encampment dismantlements per week that last 2 to 3 hours at times. So being looked into, and I think our city councilor is going to be involved in future conversations as well in regards to that group. Again, that is city led, and means a lot of good, and everybody in the group again means well, but there needs to be a balance there of the residents' priorities and the unsheltered population's well-being.
I just want to add to this, because we're on this subject. Sylvie mentioned that there are people that are camping overnight in parking garages. We know that. There's also a respite center for the unsheltered at Nicholas Street, the old jailhouse, and the Jim Durrell. So the individuals do have a choice of a place to go and stay for the night if they wish to go. And there was a suggestion that using office buildings, but it's been deemed that office buildings do not have the showers or the toilet or the amenities required for the unhoused. So that's not working right now. That's all I want to say on this. We would like to have everybody housed in some manner, but this is how things are working, and we're working towards a better life for everybody. Thank you. Thanks, Eb.
Constable LeMay, do you have anything else to add, or do we open for comments and questions to you?
Just finally, one thing that I thought of coming here, because I've been doing it myself quite a bit recently, is ordering online packages, front step. People will steal them. It's too bad, but it's a society we live in. People, it's almost their full-time job to follow delivery trucks and scope out those things. So again, online, you can find a bunch of tips, but essentially if you can have packages delivered at your workplace, because people have started to go work, physically in an office, please do that. Deliver at a trusted address, have a neighbor bring it in and things of that nature. And again, big companies are great. You get your delivery notice, you show up home, it's not there, you make a claim, you get a new one. But if they said that they delivered it and it's not there, that's a theft. And Ottawa Police would greatly appreciate a report, even if it's just for documentation purposes. If we don't have a Ring camera or things of that nature, again, it's only going to be a stats, but we need to know that those crimes are happening. But when we get the reports, we can kind of look at different crime trends and areas that are hot. And we'll focus our resources accordingly. So that was the last thing, and I can take Dominic's question.
Okay, Dominic, over to you.
Just going back to your story about the Rideau Street business, if they had called 911, would the police be offering them, the unhoused individual, resources, or taking them to those resources, or how is that situation dealt with?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Dominic. And, as you guys can tell by, hopefully you can tell by my presentation, I'm certainly very sympathetic to that situation. And, I do my best to support people that are unsheltered. I would say that many officers have the same reflex. They'll either know who the person is, they'll remind them of where they can get a warm meal. We've just recently as well from the city received the kind of the winter strategy for warming locations. And as Sandra said, 75 Nicholas is one of them. And there are two other arenas arenas as well, I believe, Jim Durrell Arena and another one. So a little bit out of Lower Town. But again, if we, you know, it's minus 20, we go in a hotel lobby. I can think of no one of my colleagues that would simply, you know, kick somebody out and kind of tell them like, you know, arrange-toi kind of thing, like do your best. Again, and it's you know, it's our responsibility as well, if you know, liability wise, but just morally wise, like if we deal with an individual and, you know, we learn that they you know, they passed away or were injured you know, overnight because of our intervention, I wouldn't sleep well with that. And like I said, many officers wouldn't. So we have the you know, some backdoor numbers to those outreach services, and I've called them before. And like I said, my colleagues have those numbers as well. Our dispatch has the number as well. And again, right, it's being proactive too, because if we remove them from one hotel lobby, but they're really just looking for somewhere warm to go, then they'll probably re-offend. And I use air quotes because it is against a provincial statute, but we can understand that in many cases it's to stay warm. So we will want to be proactive and ensure that that their needs are fulfilled. And if that's being warmed, and that they're either booked into a shelter or again, one of those centers that the city has opened or is about to open.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup, Seb. Est-ce qu'il y a d'autres questions ou de commentaires de quelconque, de quiconque? Anybody have a question or a comment for Seb? As always, Seb, I know that you were away because of your leave with your new little one. So hope that is all going well and that you're getting sleep at night. And thanks for always being so so thorough in your reports with us. Much appreciated. Hey,
thank you. Merci. I actually had my better half just text me and asking for backup. So I'm glad that's it for today. I left my email. Feel free to, you know, send a question if you were shy to ask on the call. And I see a couple of names that your emails are in my inbox. I'll be following up either in person or by email. So thank you very much. Merci beaucoup.
Okay. Bonne soirée. On va continuer avec le rapport des comités maintenant. Let's go to agenda for our committee reports, heritage, patrimoine, c'est notre premier rapport. So that would be Nancy.
Hi, everyone. Nancy Miller-Chenier here. I'm a co-chair with Andrew Waldron of the Heritage Committee. One of our big jobs, of course, is monitoring what the city is planning to do with our heritage. And at the moment, we're waiting to see some development applications move along in our heritage district. So we're waiting for something to move on Dalhousie Street. And there's a few plans for things on Murray Street, but these seem to be a bit stalled. And I don't know whether people were waiting for Bill 23 and the more permissive approach to development or what has happened, but we expect to be busy probably in January. The other thing we're doing is, of course, continuing to work with the city on updating our Heritage Conservation District plans. In the Byward Market Heritage Conservation District, we're trying very hard to get some clear guidance on the crossover, maybe even the conflict among the multiple plans that seem to be going on there. The public realm plan did very little focus on heritage. The secondary plan that we've been asking for quite a long time is probably coming. The NCC is doing some planning, and we're not clear on what that means for our Heritage Conservation District plan. So we're looking for some city people to maybe speak to us about that. In Lower Town West, we're trying to do a lot of work getting more background information on some of the buildings. As you know, this is the oldest district of Ottawa, and some of the families that settled in Lower Town have been underrepresented in terms of historical accounts. So we're trying to do some work to link families to buildings and raise some of the interest of the history of this area. McDonald Gardens is our heritage designated park, and we are waiting for a conservation plan that will conserve the heritage attributes of that park and also give us a plan for moving forward in terms of any possible new additions to the park. As well around McDonald Gardens, we're hoping that the city will look at our request for a new heritage conservation district. We made the request a while ago, and it's now really important that we move some of those buildings off the heritage register and into a district, because Bill 23 has given us a deadline on that. The fun thing I've been doing is working with York Street School on its 100-year celebration. And of course, it only took us about 8 years to get that building designated, but it's now designated. There's a lot of pride there among the staff and not only the current students, but the former students. We had a wonderful open house on Saturday, and the school is hoping to do a few more events to celebrate that great institution. That's the main things that we're working on. If there's any questions, happy to answer them.
Looking at the chat, Nancy, I don't see anything in the chat. Does anyone have a question for Nancy and our Heritage Committee? All right, thank you, Nancy. Next is housing and homelessness. Our chair, Bruce, is unable to be with us, but I know Warren Waters, our planning committee chair. You can take the next two, Warren. I know you're reporting.
Sure. Sure. I don't have anything to report on planning. As Nancy mentioned, there seems to be a drought on new planning developments. Probably. Like Shepherds and others, they have about 60 or 80 different agencies that provide housing and homelessness services. That they had a meeting to discuss how they could change the structure. Basically, they want to reset the relationships between the city and their contractors, and they wanted to hear from all of those contract agencies and service providers what kind of a collaborative relationship they would like. So they were asking the agencies to tell the city how they would like to change. It occurred to us that it's important enough an issue that we should ask the public to get involved. So I asked the director of housing services that day in November when the general public would be invited to have a say, and he said that it would come in the next stage. So we're planning to invite the city to come next in January and tell us what they're planning or get our ideas on how they could change the way housing and homelessness services are provided or organized. We'd invite everybody to please send us your questions if we do manage to get the city to attend. What are your questions that you'd like us to ask in January, so that we can send those questions in advance to the panelists that we manage to get here. We want to give the panelists a chance to get prepared. We're thinking of inviting the city, the Alliance to End Homelessness, possibly the city's outreach group. But we still need to get questions for them, intelligent questions about how the city should reorganize the way they're dealing with housing and homelessness. As we've heard tonight, there's a number of challenges. The city itself admits that the current model is not working. So they're interested in finding a new approach, and we'd like to ask them how they could provide a better approach. So please contact the LCA with your suggested questions. Send them in an email to info@lowertown-bassville.ca, and we'll pass them on to whoever we manage to get as the panelists in January. That's all for me.
Thanks, Warren. That's in January. January 9th is our next LCA meeting, and we're hoping to have that very important presentation and discussion there. Merci beaucoup. Y a-t-il des questions pour Warren? Commentaires? If not, our last report will be from Sandra Milton. Sandra, you can take the next two committees, safety and security and parks.
Great. Thanks, everybody. I believe I covered most of the things in the safety with Seb. We are working quite a bit with outreach and with shelters to try to ensure that the system within the city of Ottawa works much better and efficiently. So that's a big ask, but we are working with everybody. So that's really good. And if they are here in January, that's even a better ask, because how do we get people off the streets and into homes? And how many homes are there? And where can they go? And how can they look you in the eye, these people? That's all they want to do. So anyway, that's it for me for safety. But for parks and recreation, I would like to introduce, and I really apologize up front, Meza Musa. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it.
Is
he on the call?
Hi. Oh, it's Meza.
Okay, I apologize. So he's kindly and with much enthusiasm decided to manage Bingham Park skating rink this year. And he has great ideas. And welcome and thank you, Misa. You might as well tell us your story. Thank you.
Sure thing. Thank you. I moved to Lower Town a few years ago, just before COVID started, actually. I'm originally from Windsor. But I loved skating on the little rink we have there. And I thought when I saw the Echo that you're looking for a rink operator, I thought I'd volunteer and help out. We were actually just there today. So Dave, the previous operator, and myself, we did a little bit of work. We're excited. We do need help. We do need more volunteers. So I'll drop my email in the chat if anybody's interested, or you know somebody who may be interested in helping out when there's a snowstorm to clean the ice or whatever, just little things we may need around. So looking forward to it.
Yes, a huge, huge, huge thanks. That our Bingham rink is such a great facility that we have. I have two sons who have grown up. They were born and raised in Lower Town, and they did their share of shoveling and skating and whatnot. Because of you, hundreds and hundreds of little people and big people will get to, you know, to skate. And so I just want to say thank you so much. And I see that your email is in the chat. So thank you once again. It's just great to see you and joining us tonight, and knowing that you're helping us out. And I've seen lots of emails back and forth. So everyone, Mayasad has been incredibly active already, talking about snow blowers and lights and all kinds of stuff. So it's not super simple what you're doing. And thank you so much. It's a lot. It means a lot to us. Okay, and on that, well, we hope people will be visiting the skating rink this year, and we don't know when. Massa, do you know when do you think the ice will be in? Like, is there an estimate time, or?
Depends on Mother Nature, right?
Yeah.
Definitely not before Christmas.
Okay, all right, so it's good to know. Thank you. On that is actually the end of our agenda. Je ne sais pas s'il y a des gens qui ont des questions, des commentaires généraux qui n'étaient pas sur notre ordre du jour. N'hésitez pas de le faire. I'm not sure if anybody has any comments. We're actually at an hour today, which is great, because I know some of our meetings have gone very long. And, you know, I appreciate that people have joined us and stayed on long. But, I see a hand up before we wrap. Nancy, go ahead.
I just wondered if this is a good time to ask people for ideas on how we can celebrate our community. You raised that in your introductory remarks, and I think of this group of dozens of people we probably have some people with some not only good ideas, but maybe the ability to take the lead on some celebratory things. So maybe they can send some notes to our info site about who they are, what they'd like to see celebrated, and how we might be able to do it without too much money.
Thank everyone. Think, I'm not sure if some of you have been to Distillery in Toronto, but the lighting there is absolutely magnificent. And it's really a lot about lighting. And so I actually said to markets and the city, and I said, I'm going to actually do a fundraising drive and go to Canadian Tire and buy thousands of lights and hang them myself, you know, being facetious. But I think with lighting and a bit of greenery, I think we can, and we're even thinking about signage, and we've already talked to Kendra, our arts and culture chair. They're on the artist side. You know, should we have, like, you know, like they have in Little Italy, right? The welcome, the, you know, they have a welcome to Little Italy on Preston and whatnot. Something that really indicates that you are in Canada's historic Canada. Well, it could be Canada. Well, no, not as old as Quebec City. But anyway, Ottawa's oldest district. And so we're looking at animating and beautifying. And we think that just adding that vibrancy to our community will make everyone feel like, you know, even more at home. We know we feel at home now, but for anyone who visits, lives here, or works here, it's something that we want to bring that vibrancy and that celebration of the history that we have in both Lower Town and the market back. So thank you, Nancy, for bringing that up, and we invite people. Envoyez-nous vos commentaires. Yes, Robin, lighting all year round, programming, more vendors. Yes, Robin, I'm loving your enthusiasm and your suggestions. And so that is one of our focuses. We promise you, and we've already chatted with Kendra and our arts and culture group about that this year. But we, you know, if anybody has any ideas as to what people could do, you know, could we have a contest where everybody lights up their house, you know, for the year? I'm being crazy here. I'm the least artistic person I know, so probably even the worst person on the planet to talk about this. But anyway, we just want to, on veut réanimer, on veut apporter un peu de brillance, un peu de joie, de lumière à notre quartier historique. Donc, on attend vos commentaires là-dessus. So, January 9th is the next meeting. Before we leave, I'd like to offer everyone who celebrates Christmas a very Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, or however it is that you will be taking time with your family over the next few weeks. We wish you all the best. On vous souhaite des joyeuses fêtes, un joyeux Noël à tous ceux qui célèbrent. And one last comment is to once again, thank you for taking the time out of your busy lives to join us on these Mondays once a month. Merci encore à vous. Et on se revoit au mois de janvier. Merci. See you in January.